You are listening to episode number 252 of Better Blood Sugars with Delaine MD.
Welcome to Better Blood Sugars with Delaine MD, where you can learn strategies to lower your blood sugars and improve your overall health. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. Ladies, if you know you're capable of doing badass things at work and for your family, but you're confused and frustrated with why you can't seem to stop eating the chocolate cake, this podcast is for you. Let's talk.
Hey there, welcome to the episode. I am so glad you're taking some time for you today. Technology is trying to win with me today. This is the second time I've recorded this, so apparently fate sees it that I need to re-record this and have had a good practice session. So technology is winning. I'm using a different mic. I'm trying to use it effectively so that you get good listening quality, but please bear with me if there is some if it's not a great listening quality of recording. I don't know what's happened with my mic. It's a really expensive setup, and I really like the setup, but it just seems to be cutting out halfway, like partial way into a recording, which is really funny because I don't know when it's going to happen. It's somewhere around 12 and a half minutes. It's very random. So I want to say that I'm thankful for you being here. And thank you. I really want to tell you how much I appreciate you trusting me to help you in this journey to better blood sugars and better health. Recently, I did a podcast on the various types of diabetes, type 1 diabetes versus type 2 diabetes versus gestational diabetes versus LADA or MODY diabetes. Okay. I learned a ton during this research for that particular podcast. One of the many things I learned in that podcast was about MODY diabetes. It's a very small subset of diabetics, but some of it is very fascinating. MODY is maturity onset diabetes in the youth. That's what MODY stands for. Actually, that's an old term. It's not even what they use for it anymore. But there are different types. I think that I read there were 8 types of MODY. There might be more. But what they've come down to is this is what we call monogenetic alterations that create diabetes. So monogenetics means there's just a single gene that's associated with this. Mono being one, genetics being a gene, and there's a single gene that is associated with the cause of this particular type, MODY 1, MODY 2, MODY 3, MODY 4. So MODY 8, there's 8 different genes that they have identified causing these various subtypes of diabetes. So one of the particular ones is something that I learned, which was just blew my mind. I'd never in a million years thought of this being a way that we can create elevated blood sugars. But there is a gene alteration in the mechanism within the pancreas that senses our blood sugar. Okay. So how it works in just a normal, no gene alteration body is that we eat food and that it causes our blood sugars to go up, or something happens that causes our blood sugars to go up. And the blood is constantly being sampled by the pancreas to see if your bloodstream needs insulin. So there is a mechanism within the pancreas that senses that blood sugar reading, how much sugar is in your bloodstream. And then it tells the pancreas, hey, blood sugar has gone up to 130, 140, 120, whatever it might be. We probably need to put out some insulin. And it turns on the beta cells to start releasing insulin. That's how this works in normal, straightforward physiology, how the biology of the body works. In this particular type of diabetes, though, that sensing mechanism only picks up blood sugars when it's higher than what most of them do. Okay. So instead of picking up the blood sugar being elevated and telling the pancreas to make some insulin at 120, blood sugar reading of 120 or 130 or 140 or 150, it's saying it around 160 or 170. So our average blood sugar just tends to be a little higher because the insulin isn't kicking on until the blood sugar gets a little higher. So What that means, this again, mind-blowing, is that those humans that have this particular type of diabetes, they don't ever have the long-term complications associated with diabetes because their blood sugars never get high enough to be toxic. Okay. But they do have an abnormal A1C because their average blood sugar runs higher, and that's what the A1C represents. Okay. So that blew my mind. I had never even considered this as a way that we would see an elevated A1C. There are also some changes that can happen with the hemoglobin that can drive A1Cs to be higher than normal. And it's not because of insulin resistance, it's because of how our hemoglobin is turned over and how big our hemoglobin is. It's a version of anemia. It's not iron deficiency anemia, which is what is most common. So if you have iron deficiency anemia, that is not driving your A1C up. Likely it's the food that you're eating that's driving that A1C up. But so there's all sorts of things that can happen biologically that are causing our A1C to go up. So I learned years ago, a doctor, when I was leaving to go to medical school and I was still working in the emergency room as a nurse, one of the doctors that I was working with at the time told me a mantra and it stuck with me and it served me so much. He said, "The more I know about medicine, the more I realize I do not know everything about medicine." And he said, "Any doctor who doesn't believe that is dangerous." And he was spot on. And so when I realized, like, oh, there are all these different ways that we can be diabetic and things that I haven't even thought of, it brings me back to that. That mantra that that doctor shared with me has kept me humble over the years and certainly came to mind when I saw this different way that we can have an elevated A1C and not necessarily be insulin resistant. So a lot of time, what I hear from women is they're looking for these genetic reasons, these reasons, if it's my genes, then it's nothing that I'm doing and I don't need to do anything differently. And they're looking for what is the other reason. And they spend a ton of time. Women will spend time, they will spend energy, they will spend financial resources doing genetic testing, trying to find the cause of their elevated A1C. And what I want to talk about today is, you know, how do we kind of hash it out? How do we decide? Is it my genes? Is it the food? I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about how the medical community does not serve us in trying to figure out, is it us or is it my genes? Okay. So when women are trying to figure out if they have some genetic mutation that's leading to elevated blood sugars, if they're doing that while they're eating chocolates every day or drinking sodas or a few sodas once a week, a few times a week, or they're having rolls, or they're having a couple chocolates a week and a couple sodas a week and a roll three or four times a week, right? Like that's nearly every day they're eating a food that's causing them to be insulin resistant, right? So a lot of women will cut those foods out of their diet, but they keep eating protein shakes, or they have diet sodas, or they have the health food, the protein bars, the meal replacements that are quote unquote healthy. They have these quote unquote health foods that they eat. And once a week, maybe they have a cheat day. Why? Because, well, they've been told by somebody that you should not go without these foods forever. You need to have an occasional day where you release the valve, right? Where you're not constricted. If not, it's not healthy. That's what they're like. Some guru has recommended this. Okay. Maybe you've done these things for years and you're like, I can't figure out why I'm not getting healthy. And you're frustrated with this. Maybe you're seeing an improvement in your A1C, but you're not seeing it getting below that 5.4 mark, or maybe you're not even seeing it being below that 5.6 mark. Okay. This leads women to feel frustrated, confused, fearful, and desperate. And then to add to that desperation, your doctor starts pushing meds for you. They're going to tell you those meds are going to help you curb your cravings. Women lose weight, and that's the problem here. You need to lose weight. They're going to tell you all the medical benefits. It helps your heart, it helps your kidneys, it helps all of these things. Your doctor may even say, "Hell, I am on that medication. That's what's keeping me, quote unquote, healthy." The doctor is going to promote this medication as the thing that you need to stay healthy. And I want you to take a deep breath and stop. I want you to stop and really think about that. What is health? Health is the state of no disease. It's normal biology. It's the lack of diseased biology. It's not being sick. That's what it means to be healthy. Adding a medication to disease doesn't create the lack of disease. It doesn't create a state of no disease. It doesn't create health. Insulin resistance is a disease. If you're diabetic, you're insulin resistant. And if you've been diagnosed with this, your disease is not caused by a lack of medication. Your biology is not missing some med. It's not missing a GLP-1 agonist. It's not missing metformin. It's not even missing insulin in most cases. Adding these meds are not going to fix your biology. Your biology is responding to too much processed food. Your biology is actually normal. Your biology is having a normal response to eating foods that are not normal to a human body. And this is the source of the issue. Adding a medication to that is not the solution. Taking away the thing that's causing the disease, the offending agent, the processed foods in this case, the thing that's making you sick, taking that thing away, that is the answer. That's the solution. Okay. Adding a medication to a disease causes you just to spend money on doctor's appointments and lab monitoring labs to monitor the medication and as spending money at pharmacies to purchase the medication. That's what adding medication does. It does not make you healthy. And the expectation is that you're going to do that forever. Because these meds are designed for you to require them for the rest of your life. So, this is the difference between a medication that cures something or treats something. So, what's the difference? An antibiotic is going to cure something. If you got pneumonia, you got a urinary tract infection, an antibiotic is going to kill that. It's going to cure you of that. An antibiotic is going to eradicate streptococcus from your throat and cure your strep throat. That's the difference between those meds. Those meds are not meant for you to be on every day for the rest of your life. In fact, being on them every day for the rest of your life is likely not going to help you. These meds that we treat diabetes with, metformin, Ozempic, for the love of all that's holy, insulin injections, they're not a cure. They hope to manage your disease and, in turn, hopefully mitigate some of the complications associated with it, but there's no guarantee. I see frequently human beings coming through the emergency room, having heart attacks, having strokes. They're on tons of meds for their diabetes. Just because they're medicated for it doesn't make them healthy. It doesn't mean they're never going to have those diseases. The honest to God truth is, I don't know that even like not having, not being diabetic necessarily. I mean, there's plenty of non-diabetics that have heart attacks. There's plenty of non-diabetics that have strokes, right? But certainly, there's far less of those. There's a reason that diabetes is a risk factor for all of those things because we know if you're diabetic, you're more likely to have those things. And what I want you to hear that you're not hearing from your medical community is adding meds to it doesn't make you healthy. Okay. The meds hope to manage your disease, they hope to mitigate your risks, but you're still diseased. It's not healthy. Do not be confused by this misconception that's promoted by the healthcare industry. Okay, what's caused your disease? Listen, I mean, I think this is important that's not being pointed out. What caused your disease is the food that you eat. It's not a lack of one of their medications. If you're wanting to be healthy, the only way to create that health is to remove the cause of the disease, that food. So when women come to me and they're like, I think there's a genetic cause. I think I'm MODY. I think I'm LADA, this latent onset or latent autoimmune diabetes. I'm trying to make sure I have my, I'm not sure I have those, but basically it's an autoimmune diabetes that's setting on in adulthood versus childhood, which is what we usually see with type one. Women come to me and they're like, I want to do the genetic testing. I want to make sure. I want to see if that's going on. I want to like shake them out of the fog. Come out of the fog that the medical industry has put you in. Come out of this misconception. that's being promoted. And the people who are like, I don't know that I'm not, again, guys, I'm not trying to bag on the medical community. I've yet to meet the doctor that really wants to harm. I mean, they're out there. I've seen movies, but I've yet to meet the doctor that wants to harm their patients. These are good human beings that are doing the best with the information that they have been taught. But the medical industry is set up so that sick people are on meds. That's how they make money, and they want to make money. Okay. So the people that actually benefit by this misconception or from this misconception is the medical community. It's not patients. Okay. It keeps Americans sick. So no matter what your genetic makeup is, this food is going to make you sick no matter, just because it doesn't match your biology. It's that simple. When we look at studies, 9 out of 10 Americans have in 9 out of 10 Americans have insulin resistance. Okay. This is not a genetic predisposition. This is something that we in our society is doing. We are doing this. It's not genetics. And the thing that we're doing is we're all eating food that makes us sick. This processed food, unnatural foods. Genetically, we did not become the dominant species on this planet because 9 out of 10 of us are destined to be sick in middle age. That's not how we became human beings in this society that we live in. Okay. It just doesn't make sense to think that this is caused by our genetics. So you have to clean up your diet and you have to be consistent with it for like 90 days. Okay. This is kind of the way that I tell women, like, if you're really worried that it's your genes, do this for 90 days. See if you see better blood sugars. If you see better blood sugars, high five up top, you found the problem. If you don't, maybe we need to do that testing. But you're going to have to be 100% consistent for 90 days so that your cells have an opportunity to heal. Okay. And you might say, but so-and-so says I don't need to. We should not be deprived. We should be able to have it. Get your cheat day on. We don't want to get to a point where we're so jonesing for it, we lose all control. Somebody might say that, and that may be true. Okay. That may be true. But people whose biology is able to handle a cheat day once a week are not starting from a diabetic place. They're not starting from an already diseased place. Okay. If you have insulin resistance, if you have diabetes, your cells are diseased. You are starting from that diseased place, and your cells may not be able to tolerate a cheat day once a week. It's like having a cigarette, right? My lungs, my personal lungs are very healthy, very, very healthy. I don't have any lung disease. So I could probably have a cigarette. It wouldn't be a problem. But if somebody's starting from a place of cigarette, and when I say I could have a cigarette, by the way, I have no interest in having cigarettes, but I mean like one cigarette, right? Like smoking a daily cigarette, it's going to damage my lungs because that's just how our biology works. It's the same thing. If you're starting from a place of disease, like you're already diseased because your biology is not meant to be smoking cigarettes. If you're starting from that place of disease with COPD or emphysema, you cannot smoke a cigarette once in a while. It will make your disease state worse. Okay. You must stop the offending agent, in this case, the cigarettes. In the case of the diabetic, the processed foods, you must stop the offending agent until your body has a chance to heal. Okay. Again, in that analogy, processed foods or cigarettes, you have to stop them and you have to consistently stop them until your cells are able to heal. And what I found is that takes usually at least 90 days. Okay. So, I just want to share this with you today with the hopes of shifting your mindset a little bit. If you're believing the story that a little bit's okay and you're not seeing the results, that you're normalizing your biology, please question that story that you're telling yourself. Maybe a little bit's not okay. That's kind of what you have evidence for, okay? What I help women do is when they know chocolate cake's a problem, but they keep eating it, I help them stop doing that. That's what I help women do. If you know chocolate cake's an issue and you're not eating it, you're probably not listening to this podcast. That's awesome. There are people out there like that. That's great. But if you're listening to this podcast, what I can help you do is to stop eating the cake even when you know it makes you sick. Okay? I want to make sure that you know that if you are medicated for your type 2 diabetes and you go to cut your processed foods out, you could get very sick. So please be careful if you are medicated. The kind of sick that I'm talking about looks like an emergency room visit, a hospitalization, and possibly even death. And nobody's making these changes because they want to die sooner. They're making these changes because we want to live longer. And so I need you to be careful. If you're going to make these changes and you're medicated, I want you to get on the phone with your doctor. And I want you to get a clear line of communication, how you're going to communicate with them, your blood sugar readings, and how they're going to communicate with you the medication changes they want you to make. Do that before you get started to keep yourself safe. Okay. If you need help, if you're not sure, like, I don't even know what to eat. How am I going to do this? I don't even know. Go to delanemd.com/better. You can get my 14 days to better blood sugar workbook. And you will see it's a very powerful program. It's 14 days. You will see better blood sugars. I've yet to have anybody email me and say they didn't. If you follow the program, you will see better blood sugars in 14 days. The results women are getting are phenomenal. Okay. But if you're not sure, like, oh, maybe I'm Modi, maybe I'm Lada, maybe there's something else going on, try this out. 14 days and you're going to know. Is it the food I'm eating or is there something wrong with my biology, my genetics? Do I need to do something different because my genetics are driving this? 99% of the time, it isn't going to be the genetics. It's going to be the food that you're eating. And ladies, even if it is your genetics, there's no part where eating that food is okay. It still makes you sick. Okay. That food just does not match our biology. Lastly, I do have a request. If you are finding benefit from this podcast, please rate it and review it on your podcast player. The more people that hear or the more ratings and reviews this get, the more the podcast players put it in front of other people. And the more other people will hear this and get the same benefits you are. Remember, 9 out of 10 Americans are fighting with this. People need to know they don't have to be sick, tied to medications and the healthcare system for the rest of their life. The last thing I have for you is keep listening. Keep avoiding those foods that are making you sick and keep making choices for your longevity, your vitality, and your health. I'll be back next week. Bye-bye.